It has been a long day already.
I'm almost a quarter through mine. So we have two work sessions here this afternoon, both Ottertail Electric. One is on their waiver changes and one is on their rider. I don't have any opening comments to either of you. Okay. There was a request that we do PU 23-283, the rider, first. So if that's all right with you, I'll just kind of turn it over to you and staff, Sherry. It's
okay.
Your portfolio.
Well, thank you. On PU 23-283, what we're looking at is one of the suggestions was looking at the name of the rider. I think that's the thing that's outstanding. And I'm going to turn it over. I think Victor has more information because he's worked with the staff on looking at the number of characters that are on the bill and what they brought forth. And so, Victor, I'll let
you. Certainly. So I've been in contact with Ottertail since our informal, just finding out what their abilities are on the naming of the rider on customer bills. I think some of the commissioners expressed displeasure with the name of the rider, which...
You can call me out, Victor. I'm fine with it.
Oh, I know. I was trying to recall back of where the name came from, because I do recall having this similar discussion last year. And I feel like you may have been the one who suggested the current name. My memory is not one of.
Did you find my name that I suggested?
I could not find my notes from last year, unfortunately, because it would have been far more fun to know with certainty who came up with the name.
Let's just assume I did.
So that I can concentrate better.
Yes.
On all those fun details, what is the name as it's currently proposed?
So it's. Advanced Metering and Distribution Technology is the full name of the rider.
And advanced
metering. Advanced Metering and Distribution Technology.
Okay.
And it's currently being abbreviated on the bill like ADV, MTR, and DIST Tech.
And that's what Julie did not like when she read the abbreviation.
This is the abbreviation.
So
that's what the bill is going
to
say.
What Ottertail has told me is we're limited to 25 characters in their new billing system. They've thrown out a couple of different variations of that name. And they've also suggested, if we're concerned about confusing customers with names and things of that nature, a full-on change in the name is likely to generate more calls and confusion than kind of just changing how that abbreviation or changing which of those words shows up on a bill. So they've thrown out a number of different options, anywhere from saying advanced metering and technology. They could say advanced meter and tech. They could say advanced metering and distribution tech. I haven't counted those out myself, but they seem confident.
What do they have, 25?
25 characters.
You can't say advanced meter and distribution tech.
They're shortening those.
Yeah, abbreviating. Like
they're assuming that everyone knows their abbreviations.
We're sorry.
That's the biggest assumption.
And maybe this is so. I printed this out days ago and intended to come back and read it. I'm just now actually able to do so. The last email I received was just. Last Monday. They heard back from the bill redesign team and they can fit quite a bit more on their new bills as they roll out. And they're saying they could spell out advanced metering and distribution tech. And
okay. So then they would, if they can do all of that, I mean, I'm not opposed to that. It's much more understandable when it's spelled out. I think meter and distribution upgrade is even more clear because people will remember getting these new meters and then the upgrade makes sense. So that was what I threw out during the meeting.
So I would have never made anything of this, but I'm kind of glad that you did. Because, yeah, what they had going, I don't like either, and I would have thought about it more. But now that I've given it this additional thought, what's the big change in distribution? To me, if I'm the customer and we're throwing on distribution, I feel like, oh, well, it's probably some additional lines they had to plow. No, this is about the meters.
Right.
So why do we insist on saying distribution?
Because it's not just the meters. One of the more significant cost components in this rider is the
outage management.
Outage management, the name is escaping me right now, but it's demand response, the demand response system, which is part of their distribution management system.
It was all-encompassing.
Right. There's like three major components of this. It's the meters, distribution, demand response, not distribution, meters, demand response, and then outage management system was all a part of it.
They did have a chart on that, though. It seemed like the meters was...
The meters were still the main
the
cost
main
component.
Pretty sizable amount, I think.
If you're going to demand response rate, there's going to be a change in that. You would take an act. That will be elsewhere, too.
I still think it's not really the rate.
That's why putting demand response in there, it would also be confusing because it's not a demand response rate.
They're not being used that way.
If I'm remembering correctly, so the cost of the new demand response system is part of this rider and these rates. So, they could have done it separately.
Advanced metering infrastructure, outage management system, and demand response system.
Mm-hmm.
That's what this includes. But it would be nice to have a breakdown. I thought that there was some place in here.
I don't know if it was within this filing or if it was within the filing last year.
But I think the advanced meter was on budget to be the $56 million, and then the... Okay, I don't recall the cost because I don't have my memo in front of me for the other stuff. But
is that in your memo?
I don't think everything's in my memo, but the major component was.
None of you creative minds have another... I mean, the advanced metering, that's one thing. Is there any other single word that would cover the demand response and the outage management?
That's why I just said distribution. Upgrades.
Yeah, but I mean, to me, that sounds like pipelines.
You mean like lines? This is
pipelines or power lines.
Yeah, power lines. Yeah, I agree, it does.
Still halfway on to the natural gas.
If it has the distribution technology, would that be more clear? Because that seems something different to me, but.
Maybe. Okay. And I guess we are saying that, but just abbreviating it the tech. So I guess I'm okay with that. So you're saying advanced metering and distribution tech.
Yes.
Does.
How about rather than advanced metering, which I don't think we need, we just say meter and distribution tech upgrade. Because to me, getting the upgrade in there ties it to all these people coming out to their house to change their meters, and then they get it. Like, this is, we got upgraded meters. People talk about upgrades. That makes sense, I think.
It does. I would hesitate to say upgrade because, you know, and certainly there's going to be less of these, but as you get new customers who connect, they didn't get anybody who showed up at their house to put on a new meter, but they're still going to be paying for this.
Well, and this rate will be in place for a long time, right? Like, this doesn't sunset. So, you know, today it makes sense.
Okay. You're right. So meter and distribution technology.
Metering and distribution tech or technology?
Tech.
Well, I guess we can fit technology in if we drop advanced. That's what you're suggesting.
I am suggesting we drop advanced.
Meter or metering?
I would say metering.
Metering?
Metering, distribution, and technology.
Metering and distribution technology. Metering and distribution technology.
This is why I really wanted this in a work session, so I'm glad we're doing this.
I like it. Are you ready?
I'd like to think about it a couple more weeks. This is a big move.
It's for this year.
It can't be hasty.
It might be back next year.
Just as long as it doesn't end up as MTR and DST tech.
Or MDU.
So metering and distribution technology. Is that it?
That's what I currently have.
Would it have to be tech at the end, or could you?
Well, I think if we're dropping advanced, there should be room.
There should be enough for the full word of technology.
And I hope this doesn't matter because it doesn't to me. But to be clear, is it AND or AND?
Ampersand.
Ampersand.
They had it spelled out with the AND in there without the ampersand. We can
say confirm. That again.
They were spelling out the word AND, not using the ampersand.
Metering.
What's
and
it called?
Ampersand.
That's the sign.
I've never heard squiggles. That.
Yeah. We learned so much today, Rand.
How'd you get through life without knowing that?
Would it look cooler with the ampersand, though?
I'm good with the shortened AND. I think everybody does know what that is, except for Randy.
Well, he knows what it is. I never knew the term for it.
So repeat it for a final time. Okay. The consensus that I'm hearing on the...
Yes. So the consensus that I'm hearing now, metering, ampersand, distribution technology.
Yes. What a beautiful name.
The techie people, I should say.
Watch Stacy's phone ring off the hook. What is this?
And for the record, that was brought forth by Commissioner Julie Fedorchak.
Don't
so
shorten it.
Spell that.
Ampersand?
I don't know.
It's Google a whole other question.
Was everything
I don't think we're qualified to answer called. That. So.
We're financial people, more so than literary experts, but. I'm certain I've seen the word spelled out. I'm not sure that I could recite
like,
it.
Why would you guys know that if you've never seen it even used?
Trivia. Trivia night, right?
Trivia night.
I would venture a guess that we've seen it in a filing over the years. Someone has spelled out the word ampersand somewhere.
Some, probably a lawyer.
Definitely a lawyer. If anyone's going to do it, it's going to be a lawyer. But as painful as these last 10 to 15 minutes were, this
Rob.
Pain is amplified 15 times more if we had to do this individually in office doors without violating open meetings rules. So,
Robert, this is your case and mine. Is there anything else that we need to discuss regarding 23-283?
No, I don't think so, unless anyone else has any issues.
I'm just going to look up how to spell ampersand.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Rob.
And I think it was fairly short.
The abbreviation or the work session?
Well, the actual case was, the other discussion was a little bit lengthier.
Ampersand, A-M-P-E-R-S-A-N-D.
A-M-P-E-R.
A-M-P-E-R.
Amper.
There's no amper.
Ampersand.
Sandy.
You'd have had to sit down if you were at a spelling bee. Sorry, that's wrong. Thanks, Robert.
I don't think so. We're just going to run these two work sessions together, or do we want to stop and start the next one?
I'm good with them together.
I think we can just keep rolling.
That was my thought as well.
I thought that's how I introduced it. So if you're okay with that, Jason. Yeah. Okay, I again don't have any opening comments on this topic, so I'll Sherry.
Well, in this case, very good informal discussion. I think where we are at is to see where we lie on the opt-out charges. I'm going to summarize. I believe what I heard from the informal, Uttertail would prefer not to have an opt-out. In our discussion in working with them, what they proposed, if we do have an opt-out, the charges that they submitted, I believe all three of us looked at it as being very expensive. But I think the first question really to come before us is where we're at with the opt-in, opt-out, if there's consensus there. So if we all agree that maybe eliminate the opt-out option, then we don't have to look at the charges. The one thing that, Chris, maybe you can help me, is I know you and I talked about this, but summarize where we're at as far as just a quick summary on the opt-out. They eliminate a lot of customers. So yeah. Let's just get down to where we have like less than 5% or right around 5%.
Yeah. So they have about 46,489 North Dakota customers. And through the varying, they eliminate the opt-out for anybody. Well, they eliminate anybody with ineligible rates. So they have some rates that can't use these meters. So then they're not going to be, they're not able to use it if they're on different kind of rates. Like, and then if they have two or more missed payments. So roughly speaking, there's about 16,000 have ineligible rates. About 10,000 have two or more missed payments in the last, I think it was 12 months.
Yeah, we're on page 17.
Yes, of the presentation, sorry.
17, then if you want to follow along.
Of the filing that they made?
No, the informal.
The PowerPoint?
Of the informal meeting. And they have about 8,000 with inaccessible meters, which would, since they're on very old meters, they weren't doing the remote metering like MDU and NSP did. So they have about 8,000 would be, I think they said, behind locked doors and basements and things like that.
Inside buildings,
right. And then there's some overlap. So roughly about 29,000 of the 46,000 customers wouldn't be eligible. So, I mean, it's about 60% of the customers would not be eligible to use the wouldn't be able to opt out is what they're saying. So there's only about 17,000 of the customers that would be eligible.
In the numbers you just gave me,
yep,
I got 34,000.
There's some overlap. There's some of them that, I see. I'm sorry. Yeah.
29 total.
Yep. There's 29 total.
Some customers don't qualify for multiple reasons.
Yeah.
So
yeah. So and then they estimated about 0.5% would opt out, and that's kind of based upon other companies I verified with. NSP that, you know, I think they had said they had like 0.6% in North Dakota were opting out or things or something. So they used 0.5% because they felt that was a pretty legitimate number. So the total number of people that would look to opt out of the using the meters that could have those meters was 87 or, you know, certainly less than 100 is what they were looking at.
And what they're doing different is they're putting on the meter, the new meter on.
Right.
Versus.
Well, they're two generations old on their meters. So they said they have some 50 or 60 year old meters out there. So they didn't do that intermediate step like MDU and I think NSP did.
Right.
So they want to get to where they don't have to maintain all those old meters, which I mean, that doesn't seem unreasonable on the face of it. To want to do that.
Chris, correct me if I'm wrong. Didn't we ask a couple of the companies if they had a chance to do it over again? or maybe I did.
Maybe you did.
Would they allow the option of opting out? And it was me. I asked.
Yeah, I did.
And they said no because of all the work and time that they put into it. They never got.
Which companies did you ask?
Is this?
I asked a general manager who was in Iowa at that time working for an IOU and now is at an REC cooperative.
Oh.
But when he did it, he was in Iowa at an IOU and talked about all the reasons why the customers wanted it and the education and the amount of time and the security of the information and then trying to say, well, you have a iPhone and all that, but really talking about the data. And he just said the pros and cons is the number of customers that got all our time and the amount of work and just what it went to it. And trying to stick IOU to IOU is what we're doing and trying to get my head wrapped around it, the pros and cons and all that. I mean, our customers are our customers, and we want them to be happy, but then running an efficient business and where do we put our time and resources and all that, so.
Well, it's and part of the discussions we had with Otter Tail, they did say, you know, it doesn't let them retire these processes. They have to have their alternative processes for when somebody calls in and says, my power's out and they're not hooked up to an automated meter, and then they have to do a different process to go through that, you know, through all of that. So they have to keep all these alternative methods in place when they have people that aren't hooked up to the system. And that's to be, you know, and I think about some of the conversations, like one of the people from ISO that spoke with SPP was talking about the need for in the future for demand response. So I think there's no question in the long run that eventually there'll be nobody that'll be manually read, probably, but it seems like you could create a fire. The flip side of that is you could create a firestorm on the front side if you're, as we see when you try to push something and not give people options on things too. So I'm not saying, I guess I could foresee where they come down the road and say, you know, 5 years from now they have 20 people being manually meter read and ask if we could not give that option to future people, or maybe once the initial rollout's done that for new installations they don't, or something like that. But it seems like when you're walking into somebody's house and changing this out, that I can see where that could, I mean, you know, it's always, I can see where they're saying it created a lot of headache, but then they didn't have the headache of people being up in a firestorm about not giving them a choice either. So.
Yeah. Well, they were in a firestorm that they wanted it, and they were doing the education and education and education.
Yeah.
And, you know, the amount of time, you know, Randy, you used a word very eloquently in front of it, as far as, you know, you use the word persuade or get out there and educate. And I really like that. I mean, as far as, you know, there, when you have a program like this, it does take some education and awareness and answer those questions. So, I mean, it was very, you summed it up very well, I thought. But
thank you.
I mean, you can see where the
company
is.
Well, it doesn't, yeah. Right? I mean, when you, it's one thing to educate and persuade when you have options, but it feels different when you don't, you know, when you're just educating or persuading because the decision is made and that's that. So, I mean, I understand they want to, you know, just make the change and do it and it would be more efficient. I don't disagree with any of that. But I also don't think that providing an option that a few are going to pick and have to pay for, and this is probably where Randy and I are different, I don't think the option should be, you know, I don't think that the option should be funded on the backs of others who aren't choosing that option. I think that if people are going to go this route, we need to work with the company to be reasonable in the costs, and I think there's some room for reducing these. But they also, it should not be, the costs of keeping this alive should not be socialized onto the others on the system. So that's kind of where I'm at. Like, I'm comfortable providing an option. I think it should be fairly priced to cover the costs of doing the manual readings. And I think between that and all the other limiting factors, I think the number of customers will be pretty small, and it'll phase out pretty quickly, naturally.
Okay, and for so a whole third different perspective, which doesn't help you guys much. Part of it is my frustration with the communications from Otter Tail on multiple cases in recent years. But I think this is a classic example of it, and at least why I don't trust them to really try to persuade in this case. It will either be the PSC's fault because we didn't give people an option, or it will be the PSC's fault why it's this absurd amount of money they're charging. Well, the area of our small disagreement in this whole thing is, and well, I mean, I understand there's big distinctions between rate classes and stuff, but within a rate class, this whole system is socialized. One person lives a little farther away, another person lives a little closer, but it's a socialized cost. You know, throughout the years, someone at any given point has a pretty old meter, and someone else has a brand new meter, but they're not paying a different amount. And so there's lots of things socialized in all this. I certainly will not support an opt-out with the kind of charges they're suggesting here. I think even the XL ones were excessive. That's why I voted against them, although I did offer to support actually something pretty close to that. So that kind of range I would find appropriate. But I guess I've already given an ADP, or not given, I voted for an ADP for this without an opt-out. So if we can't get to a reasonable price, what I don't want is another thing, another tool to mislead customers. Oh, you can opt out. And then when they get all interested, find out it's going to cost this kind of money.
So what are you talking, what do you have in mind? Because honestly, this isn't for them to figure out. We've got to figure this out.
Yeah.
So what do you have in mind? I'll show you what I think.
I think I had suggested on XL, on the XL case, like $7 or $8 a month that I was willing to go to.
Yeah. And I think that's, I mean, this is a different system. It's more rural, so the areas covered are, I think the distances are farther to travel. So I think their initial costs are, like the 226 for this opt-out charges, I think could be reduced significantly by taking out the, front end stuff.
The initial opt-out, all the initial opt-out?
Yeah.
Part of the discussion was the fact that they have to shut the meter off. Mm-hmm. And what I was thinking on that was, you know, could we instruct them to basically set a deadline for, you know, in advance of the installations to say, if you want to opt out of this, this is the cost, and you have to return, you contact us by such and such a date. So before they ever go put the meter in, they know who's opted out and they've verified whether they can opt out. And then these meters are, then they know how many of these, whatever you call it, non-functioning meters or, you know, opted out meters there are, ahead of time. And then they were talking about having third parties do the installation. So my thought was, well, they know who they're going to do installations on, and they'll say, okay, well, you need 12 non-functioning meters, and here's who those go to. I keep thinking that the upfront portion they could handle differently than having to have these people call in after the fact and send somebody back out to deactivate the meter. And it seems like they could put a meter in that what didn't have the technology turned on initially. That's so to Julie's point, it does seem like you could almost virtually eliminate that upfront cost.
And I would say a good portion of that is costs they're already recovering. So as an example, you know, when they broke out the initial cost, the intake phone call,
they've got people.
You're not hiring any separate staff to take that phone call. And they're not going to take so many phone calls that you need to hire an extra or half or a quarter of a person. Right. Even if all 87 of their expected people sign up for it.
Right.
It's not like you get 87 more calls every month. You get 87 more calls once.
Right.
Yeah. They've got staff to handle that. And the processing.
Similarly, the app processing just strikes me as an odd one. And then kind of similar to what Chris was just saying with the remote radio disconnect, you know, once you do that, you don't have to do it again. You just have a supply of these meters and come up with a plan similar to what Xcel had for theirs where, okay, if you tell us early enough, then you only have to pay this amount for going to the dumb meter instead of the smart meter.
Yeah.
And then you have to pay the final fee up right away so that when we have to swap that back out for the next customer that they don't have to pay for you getting rid of the dumb meter and putting the smart one back in place.
So then the question becomes on the back end, I didn't see in our conversation with them that day that those were unreasonable, but I welcome your thoughts on that, Randy. So, you know, we could reduce this total opt-out charges, I think, down to at least probably 150. And then the meter reading, again, I thought like a quarterly meter reading, so that wasn't monthly. So you take that, that what they're suggesting monthly and divide it by
three.
Three.
Yeah. But we never asked them about quarterly like we did the other company, did you? And what did they say about that?
They kind of went. I think.
I mean, NSP never agreed to it either. We just told them they had to do it. That was that.
I think they stepped with monthly.
Monthly.
Because their meters, that was why during the informal on this, they said that their meter would retain.
It was only 30 days of data or something.
Well, no, so NSPs would retain like.
Oh. Years.
80 or something like that.
Days.
And, right. It was some number that was basically just beyond where, like, if we were late because of a snowstorm or something like that, we'd lose all this information and we couldn't get the information in the billing system.
But we did ask that
but
year.
But Ottertail, it was significantly longer. And it piqued my interest.
It was over a year.
They had specified. It was a long time,
I think, so I don't think, that's a great point. I do think the only issue then is that with collection and things like that they want to make sure that they don't go too long. So it seemed like every 3 months didn't seem unreasonable.
Well, they'd be paying a monthly rate and it would be trued up quarterly when they actually got
there. They would estimate the previous 2 months.
I mean, we did that for COVID for many, many, many months and we didn't hear back from Ottertail or any of it.
So then that lowers, you know, NSP's rate was like $15, but they're mostly urban, and that would take it to like $26.70 or something like that, you know, monthly for the meter reading, which considering that, and to the point of some people are in town, some people are out of town, but that doesn't, to me, doesn't seem unreasonable considering the different nature of their service territory. Or even if you want to say $25.
I'm comfortable with that.
If you want to, I mean, we did that with NSP where they came in at like $16.30 and we put it at 15 or something like that. So, you know, would $25 in quarterly work?
Well, I thought that NSP's was excessive too, but since that is the rate, I don't just hold on to a position and no matter how much precedent we set. I will go 15 because, I mean, we've already done one.
It's a different system, though. I mean, it's not the same system.
The manual reading is similar.
NSP has most of their customers like in Fargo and Grand Forks.
I think that's the only difference, really, in manual meter reading is. place.
Yeah, and they justified that cost of looking at how many customers were within, you know, the distance. That wasn't just a shot in the dark in terms of the mileage.
They did a calculation of that.
So, I mean, I think 20, it would be the fairest. And it's based on actuals. With the, you know, reduction in the opt-out charges, the front-end and back-end charges.
Would we instruct them to only read them quarterly? Because otherwise they could just say, well, we're just going to send... I mean, it seems like they could just... It wouldn't be in their own financial best interest, but they could...
They would have to say in the tariff that they would read quarterly, because otherwise the...
Okay.
I'm pretty sure their general rate rules and regulations say read monthly, unless.
Okay.
And I think honestly, that's why we had to make a move in order for them to estimate during COVID.
Yes, and this was going to say our rules require monthly read, and I think you can only estimate for one or two times before it's a problem. And yeah, we did have to do that during COVID for the inside meters that we talked about. So here's a suggestion. So we've talked about a lot of different ideas here. Ottertail's certainly listening to this conversation, and a lot of it is going to require them to come up with tariff modifications that match what you all are talking about. And we can have them file a proposal that try to address some of these concerns, you know, so dropping that meter reading charge to a lower monthly rate with the assumption that it's going to be read quarterly and not monthly, but still charge it on a monthly basis.
Right.
And to remove some of the, for lack of a better term, off the top of my head, some of the fluff off of the initial opt-out fees, and make some assumptions that you're going to keep a stock of inactive or unable to communicate meters that aren't going to be switched on and off, and so you don't have to experience those fees. You will just have some of those available.
Mm-hmm.
So
that still leaves like... That leaves about $160 one-time opt-out fee based upon the back end, the truck costs, and the meter return shipping costs. So I don't think we didn't discuss the reasonableness of that and what people would be willing to do.
Yeah, what's the truck cost?
That's actual vehicle cost to get based upon average mileage.
So they're saying that roll an Ottertail truck. So the mileage for rolling that truck plus the person driving it. So there's labor for the person driving it and doing the work.
Well, what's drive time then?
That's the labor. That's not including the
vehicle. Okay, so that those two combined. The truck cost is just mileage?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So apparently everything isn't just on cruise control because they have these trucks and these people to drive them. So where's the additional fees every time they drive somewhere now? Who's paying that? Apparently they're socialized, right?
Correct.
Well, and I think part of it was them trying to eliminate these costs was part of their cost justification for the advance, whatever we're calling it now, metering and distribution technology. That was part of the cost justification of it was the labor savings. And plus, I think they discussed having some staffing issues in some of those places. So, yeah.
I mean, I question the drive time. Like, mileage, that's a hard cost. You've got gas. You probably have some, you know, vehicle operation stuff, too. But the labor costs for employees that exist, they're going to be working that day doing something anyway. Mm-hmm. That is already being paid for by customers, so they don't need to be charging again for it.
Certainly.
Okay.
So those things, I mean, quite honestly, it feels like they should be able to get that down to 150, 125 pretty reasonably.
Sure.
Okay.
Plus then what we're saying is the monthly charge that's going to be read quarterly.
Yeah.
Right. And 20. I mean, if you want to look at that by a similar respect, I mean, if we're going to assume it's these same people who are already employed by Ottertail who are rolling out once a quarter to read those meters, arguably, not all of their cost is caused by this manual meter reading.
Just for I found in my notes, meter stores 300 days. That's what they said.
Yeah, so quarterly is an issue.
I want to say I looked, like after the, that we had that informal, I think I went back and looked up NSPs, and it was like 99 or 100 days or something like that. So you got this one.
Okay.
So I think, unless you have additional thoughts, I think that's some reasonable feedback for Otter Tail to consider and make a filing, a subsequent filing of.
We'll see what they come back with. You know, NSP came back with some
additional stuff.
Well, they just said they said no to some stuff.
Yep. They said no to some things. They came up with some ideas, and then I forget if we ended up having to have another work session, but it's largely going to depend on what's filed. So once that's filed, myself or Chris.
So a couple of quick questions. Do we have any issues with who can opt out? Like if, you know,
I'd like a little more about the ineligible rates, but I mean, like maybe that's here someplace and I just.
I think what they're saying is if you're on a rate schedule, like say time of use rate schedule, you can't.
Yeah.
Yeah. How would they keep track?
Right.
Similarly, demand response.
Right.
You know, though, yep. I think that's what they're saying.
Okay.
If you have
fair enough. I don't upset. The inaccessible meters and the missed payments.
Okay.
That seems reasonable.
And then there was a little two more things. There was a little discussion on the presentation in the meeting of how they're going to do the bill, where they're just going to have the read, not the start and end meter read. And I didn't know if that gave anybody particular heartburn.
I wanted to say something on inaccessible meters.
Sure.
And so
No, that's fine. I can go back. Inaccessible meters.
So they're putting in a new meter for everybody, right? Even if you're opting out, you're getting a new meter. Why are they putting them in an inaccessible place?
Because they're already in an inaccessible place. So they're not putting in a new meter socket, just the new meter itself. And there's a number, I mean, I don't know what the count is, but they certainly have meters that are located inside of a house rather than outside of a house.
But while they're at it, why wouldn't they put in?
Because it requires electrical changes to the house.
Mm.
And unless we're going to socialize the cost of upgrading the wiring on residential homes.
So I moved my meter external to my house once upon a time. And then you had to move, I had to take that whole stack and move it outside the house. And that was a pretty major, many, many thousands of dollars to move.
Isn't that what XL is doing on their own? Is upgrading the, I thought they used the term sockets or something like
that.
The
sockets, right, but not the location. So if they needed to do an adapter to put the new meter in, like the existing system wouldn't accommodate it, like then they'll do the wiring, let's call it the stack or whatever. They'll do the wiring for the stack where it's at to be able to accommodate the new meter. They're not making somebody else pay for it, but they're not, like, say, taking that, like mine was the meter in the basement laundry room and moving it outside. They're not doing that.
Yeah. There's also, like, once you touch the wiring inside of a house, you're kind of regurgitating National Electric Safety Code, where you now have to bring it up to code, and maybe you don't have at least a 100-amp panel, or you have an old panel with fuses in it, like we've heard of some folks still having around.
That was a shed.
That was a low blow.
Regarding whoever you're talking about.
In any case,
was his name Shrandy Shristen?
It may.
You can.
That's been a long day.
So as far as
I'm sure, whoever showed you that picture took it in an old shed that hadn't been used in decades.
Likely. Yeah. Very likely.
Continue, Chris.
So are we okay on the ineligible customer thing, or do we want more information on that before we write up an order on this? Or if we're...
Oh, well, I think we're getting more information first before the order.
Well, okay. That's fine.
Yep.
So but Randy, the beginning and ending reading?
Yeah. So that was some of the discussion we had was... not liking it where it just showed the total kilowatts used as opposed to the beginning and ending read. We had a little bit of that conversation.
I hate that.
Okay.
Is there anything you can do about it with their new meters?
I'll ask.
I think we did ask if they could do it, and I think that was kind of a questionable.
I think that's what I vaguely recall. I recall the discussion coming up, and I I don't know that they gave us a clear answer that it's not possible, but I think the way they have it laid out, it wasn't intended.
Yeah, I'll ask.
So
more confusing is always better than less confusing, apparently. But if it's possible, I would like to see them on there.
Sure.
I guess I had kind of given up. I thought that these new meters that they're insisting on are impossible.
They did say they actually have, we'll call it an odometer read or whatever you want to call it. They do actually have that number on them.
But it wasn't part
of their build design that we reviewed.
I think it was just the build design.
I think that's what it was about. Yeah. So what they were saying is the kilowatt hour count is an accumulation of all of these individual 15-minute reads.
Right. Yes. That's what it was.
And then, because I recall having the question, you get rounding differences, so is that going to match up? And they did say that the software does like make sure that it's not.
They said around, they round down. What they said.
Yes, that's right. That's right. They round down.
Round down. 15-minute intervals, rounding, round down on customers' bill on whole kilowatt hour.
So it doesn't mean that it couldn't potentially, it doesn't mean that it's not in there and couldn't be presented on the thing, but the actual, so you theoretically get beginning and end, and it might be, the actual usage might be a couple kilowatts less than what the math shows you, but it's a comfort thing too, I think, where everybody's just used to doing that for their whole lives, so. Right. You know,
seeing the beginning and the end.
Yeah, so we can ask them. It might be a programmatic thing, or they might have some reason. I'll ask them about that. And then the last thing came up from another case I have with NSP, where they had proposed some rates, but then what they were saying was that they want to phase in the rates based upon the rollout of the meters. And I don't know if that impacts us here where, you know, they're proposing these rates, but it's contingent upon people. Like, let's say today people have these meter reading rates aren't going to go into place with people with old meters. Is that something we should consider at all? Cause I mean, NSP thought it was worth pointing out that some of these changes would only happen as they phase things in.
Mm, not all at once, because it takes a while to put the meters in.
Is that something we need to give any consideration to?
I don't think so. I mean, the tariff would say, you know, if you if you have this meter, this is what's happening. I mean, you know, so like the AMDT itself, everyone is paying that because Otter Tail has started to spend the money on that. So every customer, smart meter or not, well, and today it's all not, is paying that.
Right.
In the future, all customers will continue to pay that. For this opt-out, only the customers who opt out after everyone else has smart meters will pay that.
Okay. All right. I'll just make sure there's no confusion. I'll make sure to get clarity that there's nothing they need to clarify as far as...
It should be within the tariff for that.
Yeah, I'll double-check it.
Rider.
Okay.
Just having seen that... where they NSB felt the need to clarify it. I was just wanting to make sure that isn't something we're concerned about. So,
okay. I'm still not convinced opt-out is an option. But that's okay, you know?
Still got to vote on it.
Or have two orders. So I just want to, Otter Tail, most likely, you're correct, is listing, but you're going to follow up and get some additional information from them on, based on our work session, some questions we have and their response to it, and then we'll review. And
Otter Tail should be making a filing after this. I mean, they'll need a little bit of time to contemplate everything that was discussed today, but they should plan to make a filing as a result of this work session. I would fully expect us to not touch this again until we get a filing, other than Chris communicating with them.
Sure.
But if they haven't, Chris and I we're listening this whole been listening this whole time. They will certainly be listening to the recording.
Sure. Okay.
Sounds good. I have nothing else.
Thank you, everybody. This work session is closed.
Thank you.